my prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your petitions be made known to God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today is Gaudete Sunday. It's Rose Sunday for Advent time. And we don the rose vestments because while we are still in Advent, and we are still praying, and we are still sacrificing, and we are still preparing ourselves spiritually for the coming of the Messiah to redeem mankind, we at the same time know that in reality, we are praying and preparing ourselves for the anniversary of that coming. That prayer has truly already been answered. Christ has already come to earth. And as such, we allow a little bit of joy to come into the penitential season to remind us that our hope is not in vain for this end, that redemption is ours to possess. And with that coming of our Lord, we also think of by what means he came. We celebrate today, as well as being Gaudete Sunday, it is the octave day of the great feast of the Immaculate Conception. Christ, he chose to come into the world by means of the Virgin. He chose to come through Our Lady for all eternity, knowing that he was going to redeem mankind one day, knowing that this was going to end up being the great work that he did to save mankind. And as such, he prepared this way for himself. He prepared it to make sure that it was the most perfect way for him to come to the world, to become man. He prepared it by making sure that she was free from every bit of sin, that she never knew it, that she never was inclined towards that sin. That fallen human nature that the rest of us have was not belonging to Our Lady. She was conceived immaculate. And it's that octave that we celebrate now. And it's only fitting that Mary be bestowed with that special grace, being without sin. Why is that? It's fitting because in order for our Lord to come and to take flesh, she must be one that is wholly sinless, because it is inconceivable for the Son of God to also be the son of sin. It's also necessary for Our Lady to be devoid of all concupiscence. Why? Because that spotless character in the eyes of men was going to be necessary. Because if she were sinful, that would be an obstacle to our belief in the Son of God. If she were sinful, it would be not to her that we would look to be our greatest intercessor in heaven. Because she would have been faulty like the rest of us. But no, she's perfect. She's sinless. And so we see her and we set her aside. We know that she is loved most by God. We know that he can turn nothing down by her intercession. And so we look to her to stand before him and ask on our behalf for all that we need in our lives. It's under that title of the Immaculate Conception that Our Lady desires us to turn to her. She longs for us to call upon her as the Immaculate Conception. She gives us, especially here in the United States, that special patronage under that title. Why? Because it's through her perfect intercession, her understanding as that spotless mother of our own faults, of our own failings, of our own frailty, that she looks on us so lovingly and knows that she has to help us. We are helpless on our own. She has the storage of graces, and so she gives them most abundantly because she sees in comparison to herself that we are in great need of those aids. And so she comes and she gives us every means necessary for us each to not only save our soul, but obtain the good things that we need in our lives to better help us along that path. one of those tools that she's given us. It's the miraculous medal. It's known to us as the miraculous medal, not because she gave it the title, but rather because the power of it, through its good use in the hands of so many Christians before, has worked so many miracles that it has become known as the miraculous medal. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. Are not those the words written around the edge of that medal? Are not those the words that we should pray at every opportunity in order to call upon her? Our Lady is so pleased by that, because in even that invocation, not only is it an honoring of her, but it is a great honor given to her Son. He's the reason she didn't have sin. He's the reason that she was gifted so well. He's the reason that she has that power to give us the graces we need to help us. And so we turn to her through that sacramental, and we trust that it does the good that we need it to, and we pray to her faithfully that way. I'll give you an example, a really nice example that comes to us from our own country here. And not all that long ago either. It was in the 1940s that this great miracle was worked. There was a poor black man in the state of Arkansas, and his name was Claude Newman. Now this man, he was a good man, but a simple man, and an uneducated man. And he cared for his family. He didn't have a mother. He didn't have a father. He was abandoned as a child. But he had a grandmother whom he loved more than any other person on earth. And his grandmother, she had a boyfriend for herself who was a terrible man. He was abusive. He beat her. He verbally assaulted her. He did all these horrible things to her. And again, Claude stood by and didn't know what to do to help her out. And so as this crushed him day after day, finally he resolved, no more. I will not let this happen to this sweet woman ever again. And so he lay in wait. And when the boyfriend came home, he killed him, shot him dead, and then robbed him of his possessions. And then realizing what he had done, he hid in terror inside his own grandmother's house. It was there that he was arrested. It was there that he was brought into the prison and brought before the judge and convicted and sentenced to death in the penitential system. Well, Claude went to his jail cell and was there, and he had nothing to look forward to other than the eventual death that awaited him. But during that time, he had other inmates that were there that were also members of death row and that had awaited the same fate. And he would see them from time to time in the jail yard. And one such inmate he saw, and he saw this shiny object hanging around his neck. And he inquired about it. He looked at it and said, "That's a very beautiful thing that you wear. What is that? Can't you explain it to me?" And the man, he was a despondent of his own fate. He wanted to be delivered from his sentence of death. He wanted nothing more than to be saved, even though he didn't deserve it, because he had actually committed the crime. And having prayed to be brought out of prison and not having been delivered, was totally despondent. And he took what he was wearing and he tore it off. And he threw it on the ground. He said, "You want it, you have it. I have no use for it." Claude picked it up, looked at it, and saw it really was a pretty little medallion. He took it and he put it around his neck. That night, he went to bed, and in his sleep, a woman appeared to him. A woman resplendent in beauty, most beautiful thing he had ever seen in his life. A woman radiating in light. A woman that was a stark image in comparison with the image on the medal. It was the same person. And so he looked upon her, not knowing who she was at all, and asked her, "Who are you?" The lady responded to him and just said, "If, Claude, you want me to be your mother and you to be my son, call a Catholic priest.
When Claude awoke,
he couldn't wait to do that. He called for the jailer and asked for a priest to come and talk to him. The priest came. His name was Father O'Leary. And he told him about what he had seen in the night of his sleep. And he told him about the medal that he wore around his neck and said, it's the same woman that's imprinted on this medal here. Please tell me, Father, what is that? The priest told him all about the miraculous medal, explained to him how it had come through a vision to St. Catherine Labouré and that it had been given to mankind in order to ask Our Lady's intercession on our behalf, and that it was Mary that appeared to him in that dream, and that he should trust and follow after her. And if he wants to learn more, that he should become a Catholic. And that the priest, he was very much willing and ready to teach him all the truths of the faith. Claude readily agreed. He went through catechism, and it was a very slow process to teach Claude. He was uneducated. He couldn't read. He couldn't write. And so, and all of the explanations of the faith, even though they were simple things to understand, it took time for him to really grasp them and really to understand what was happening. In fact, four of the other inmates had to assist him along the way. When the priest would leave, they would go over what the priest had talked to him about before several more times to instill it into Claude's mind. And slowly he grasped it, except for one case where the priest showed up, Father O'Leary, and came to teach Claude, and he said, okay, today I'm going to teach you about the sacrament of confession. And Claude says, oh, I know what that is, Father. And he says, you do? He says, yes. That's where a man goes and he kneels before a priest, and he thinks he's telling his sins to the priest, but he's really telling them to Jesus. And Jesus, through the priest, really forgives the sins of the man. And they are no longer counted against him. The priest was astonished at that. Well, how did you know that? Well, that lady, she came back again. She told me that in another dream. Wow. Well, finally, a little longer afterwards, the day came and Claude was baptized. He became a Catholic. And he waited with great joy for the days of his execution, because he knew full well what was going to happen. All of his sins were taken away. Now his soul was pure. Now he waited to go to heaven. And at the flip of the switch to the electric chair, he would be there, joined again with that wonderful lady that appeared to him in the dream. He wanted nothing more in his life than to get to heaven. And so he decided that on his last day, instead of just having a somber last meal as was usually the case, he called and asked for the guard to throw a party on his behalf, that everybody there may celebrate his death that was coming up, because it was the greatest occurrence in his life. And so they had this big celebration, and Claude was joyfully ready to go to await his execution the next day. Until all of a sudden, just a couple of hours beforehand, it came down that his execution was delayed 2 weeks. Claude burst out into tears. He was devastated by this news. And he called Father O'Leary to him. He said, Father, what have I done? And the priest said, what do you mean? He says, have I sinned? Have I done something wrong? Why is God punishing me? Why can't I just go to see heaven? I must wait 2 weeks now? Why is that? What have I done wrong? Father O'Leary told him, nothing you've done wrong, but perhaps God wants something a little bit more from you. He says, this is an opportunity for you to sacrifice, is it not? Yes. Can you think of any greater thing to offer up to our Lord than to have to wait 2 more weeks to see him? No, Father, I can't. It is the greatest sacrifice I can make. He says, don't you know somebody who could benefit from prayers? And he said, oh, absolutely. They offer up this time as a sacrifice for their behalf. So Claude did just that. Every day that he waited was a sacrifice and a prayer offered for a certain other prisoner that he knew. A certain prisoner who had time and again been offered to come to confession, and he mocked God and he blasphemed and he denied his existence and refused any kind of spiritual aid whatsoever. Claude every day offered it up as a sacrifice. Every day he turned to Our Lady in the Miraculous Medal, and he prayed that prayer, O Mary conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee, on for his behalf. And then after the 2 weeks was up, Claude joyfully was put to death, and he went to his reward. Now, that man that he prayed for, the day of execution came to him, and still he was as angry at God as before. And he had nothing to do with confession. He was marched to the electric chair. And as he sat down into the chair, all of a sudden before him was a great vision. And there stood Our Lady of the Miraculous Medal, all clothed in white, all radiant in light. And standing beside her was Claude. And he looked at her, his former cellmate, and Our Lady looked at him. And he knew right away what he must do. He fell into tears. He called for the priest. He made a confession of his entire life. And then he too went and died in the state of sanctifying grace. Two great miracles worked by a simple man, by the intercession of Our Lady and a simple medal. A great sacramental given to us. Such a simple devotion for all of us to have. But that's the very purpose of the medal. That's the very reason why Our Lady gave it to St. Catherine Lombre. That's the very reason why it's worked so many miracles before. Because with Our Lady, she wants nothing more than to save our souls. She wants nothing more than to get us to heaven. She wants nothing more to give us a superabundance of graces and to ensure that all of these good spiritual ends are met. That's why she appeared the way she did when coming to St. Catherine Lavery. She stuck out her hands, and from the rings on her fingers came rays of light radiating down upon the world. And she, when looked at that, it was questioned, what are those rings and the light for? She said, these are the graces which I shine down upon the world. And then it was asked, well, why are some of them dark? Because those represent graces that are not asked for by man. They're ready to be given. I wait to give them out to them, but nobody asks for them. It's those graces which await us. It's those graces that we can rely on and can do so much good for us. By simple acts of devotion, by simple use of sacramentals, by simple daily actions of prayer, we turn again and again to heaven. We turn again and again to Our Lady. We ask her over and over to help us. She never tires of it because she sees that we, unlike her, are not free from fault. We are not free from weakness. But rather, we are children of Adam who need every bit of spiritual aid that we can get. And as our mother, she wants nothing more than to give it to us. All she asks is that we, in turn, ask her. All she asks is that we come to her and trust her, rely on her, and have no doubts that she comes to our aid when we need her. She just asks that we turn in love to her and to her son, and she will give us so much treasure in return, and ultimately open up for us the treasure of heaven. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.